Hi everyone, in today's episode of Founders Go Naked, we got John Chong, a very special guest and also a friend of mine who I've known for several years. This human being is incredible. I mean, they have promoted thousands of speakers on stage. And one of the big names I'm sure you would all know is Richard Branson. They've even promoted Richard Branson on stage. So there's so much that John's going to tell us about. And, you know, today we really hope to pick his brains about how to make your coaching business and speaking business a success, which I'm sure he has plenty of wisdom around because he's promoted thousands of speakers. And so, John, tell us more about your whole journey and iSummit and how it got to where it is today.
All right. So first of all, thanks for having me, Terrence. All right. So now, I think we have known each other close to a decade now. I remember the very first time that I met you in person here in Petaling Jaya, Malaysia, where one of the things that I like about you, something that I respect about you, where without hesitance, when I say, hey, Terrence, I'm John from Summit, back then formerly known as Summit, right? I'm keen to work with you and see how we can further collaborations from there. So one of the things that I remember vividly is that you, without any hesitation, you say, hey, I'll be flying, which obviously you are not based here in this part of the, I mean, in Peninsula Malaysia, but rather you are in the other side of Malaysia where you flew all the way just to meet me. So for that, I respect it a lot, even until today, wherever that I talk about you in front of my friends, my associates, say, hey, Terrence is definitely someone that you have to look at and potentially work together with. So for that, I just want to say thank you once again for the friendship and also all the partnership, the trust and the faith that you have in us, in me, and also I appreciate the friendship. So now,
thanks, Phil.
Coming back to the question that you have earlier on, let me just simplify the whole journey, because otherwise it's going to be a 3 days two night where let me just pick up some interesting points, interesting incidents, interesting a journey that I had in the past over 10 years now, which it started back in 2007, where before I really want to go into my journey, I think I need to portray the big context of my life in order for you to have a bit better understanding on the journey that I'm going to share with you in a while. I was expelled from school twice, which I never ever in my life speak English other than Chinese, Mandarin, and other dialects. In the first 20 years of my life, I only speak Mandarin, Cantonese, and some other dialects, right? Within the Chinese community. So I only start speaking English in my early 20s. So now, one of the things that excite me in terms of studying English is obviously through the movie, where if you are living here in Malaysia, obviously most of the movie that you watch, you happen to see their subtitle, or is it called subtitle? Subtitle, right? Okay, subtitle at the bottom, right? So from there, I start picking up, and I realize that I pick up faster than most of my peers, and just so happened that most of my peers, most of us, including myself, we don't really speak English. So I try to speak one or two sentences in the day, in the daily life. They say, hey, John, why are you trying? Why are you speaking English to me? Say, no, why don't we just start learning English? So now, to cut long story short, that interest go deeper, where back in 2007, I pick up a book, start picking up a book from a bookstore, never in my life. Right, being someone that expelled from school, someone that very rebellious during my teenage year, and just so you know that I was sent behind bars for during my teenage year also, and due to something that is not right. Now, because of that, that experience itself, I realized that picking up a book, start reading a book, and study and understand the content and the context of the book itself, it changed my life. So 2007, start picking up book. Now 2008, that's where I start to attending event and seminars. And obviously back then, being a waiter, right, you don't have that luxury of spending additional of your income, because you don't have any income. I mean, you have income, but you don't have that additional savings. sleeping. So the only thing
were a waiter at that point.
Huh? Yeah, I was working in the hotel line for right. most of my life, at least for the first 10 years of my life in my 20s until like late 20s, right? So now, of course, being a waiter, there's another story that I can always share with you whenever, if I have another privilege to be part of this podcast. So now, coming back to the book journey. So 2007, start reading. 2008, start attending programs, mostly the fully sponsored kind of event, where from there, I start to get myself involved in being the volunteered crew to assist in events. So from there, I get to start to get to know many speakers, including you yourself, Terrence. If I may, let me just mention some of the names that people might recognize here in this part of the world. People like Vince Tan, people like John Lee, people like Adam Koo, Terrence Tam, you yourself, and there's many others from, not necessarily from Malaysia, from Singapore, from Southeast Asia, from Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, Japan. That is where I find that this industry itself is very interesting. Like, hey, how come this has never been taught in the school, right? So now on the second part of my life, I always been someone that very positive in my life, which things happen, shit happened in my life, which I'm from a middle class family, which both my parents, they are working adults in a way. My mom used to be working in the hospital as a nurse, and my father used to be working in the as an inspector. All right, so if you really understand your mom, someone that attached to the hospital, which is literally 24/7, that is like 24/7 as a nurse, where they are working on a shift. My father, a lot of times that he has to travel overseas or outstation. So three of us, we start to be very independent at a very young age. I kid you not when I say I start to know how to fried rice at the age of 7. So that is how fast I can adapt to the environment. So now, as I mentioned just now, I've been always been someone that very positive in my life, not despite all the challenges, like having not enough money, having not enough attention, love, or even to a certain extent, knowing that, as I say, expelled from school twice. I don't even have a diploma, just so you know. Like studying in a university, I don't even have the experience to say, hey, what's the life of university like? To me, it's like, hey, my university is a real society. This is my university, right? So I never had that privilege, lah, in a nutshell. So being someone that very very positive, like it also my weaknesses, just so you know, that because a lot of times people keep wondering, like, hey, John, what really trouble you? It seems like nothing can trouble you. I mean, to a certain extent, I try to think deeper, like, am I supposed to be a positive within these circumstances, or should I be worried? Because it just naturally, like, whatever happens, right, it could be physically, mentally, spiritually, or even financially. Sometimes everyone faces challenges day to day on the day to day basis, but it is same thing to me. Like, as an entrepreneur, you face all kind of challenges, but to me, like, it's very hard for me to say, hey, shit, why what's happening, why that is just not my way of handling things since young. So I've always been a very positive, so now being someone that very positive, I think that definitely complements to my journey in such a way that I am a people person in such a way that it is not difficult for me to introduce myself, although I don't speak the most perfect English, especially when it comes to speaking to the renowned speaker like you yourself, Vince Tan, John Lee, back in the day. That just imagine, like, hey, I don't have diploma, I don't have degree, I don't have any academic qualification, but hey, Vince Tan, I'm John, just so you know that I like the way how you teach, I like the way whatever that you share on the stage, but is there a way for me to be part of what you're doing? Perhaps be a crew, be a volunteer. So I think that that confidence in me, and also that a genuine desire to start to look at someone that probably in terms of status, in terms of experience, that is slightly above you at that point of time. So I think I have no issue in doing that. And that come back to the story that you shared just now about Richard Branson. So now, I remember back in 2012, if I'm not wrong, during my birthday itself. So in case you're wondering, when is my birthday? It's 5th of July. So now, I happen to know that there's an event in London, right, on the 5th of July. So on that day itself, I have been admire about Sir Richard Branson for the longest time ever, right? Been reading his book, following him on all the social media and also YouTube and so on and so forth. So it just so happened that back then, it came to me to know that Branson is running a day event in London. Just so happened that on my birthday itself, so I've been asking myself, what would be the best present I can give to myself? To cut long story short, I took that initiative to never been to London in my mid 30s. So I'm in my 40 something right now. So took that initiative to flew all the way to London and bought the VIP tickets. And it's not cheap though. It's probably £9.97, which back then it was at the conversion of 6 point something to our ringgit currency, right? So I think that is one of the best present that I presented to myself. So during that event, not only that I learned from Branson itself, of course, I had the privilege to networking around with many other speakers. That is how I expand my networking by, don't be shy, like be relentless and say, hey, I'm John, I'm from Malaysia. I really hope that I can be part of what we're doing in the future. So this is my name card. Although you know for the fact that most of the time they will not keep your numbers, although, right? So just keep your site. Yeah, they will never return you a call, but yeah, at least the whenever you have the desire to call them for the second attempt, you just like remind them and say, hey, remember I met you in this office, in this conference, I'm from Malaysia, da 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 da. So I think that is how we can always rebuild that rapport, right? So now coming back to Branson, bought the VIP tickets. Not only that, I'm able to learn from him, but what excites me the most is somehow or other, right? I was chosen to spend a bit of time, probably within 5 minutes, at the green room. If you're familiar with the green room, right? So the room behind the stage for the speaker to get ready before they're on stage. So somehow the organizer have allowed me to do that. So again, you have to be like having a thick face, like ask the organizer, hey, I'm from all the way from Malaysia, you know, can I come and see? And my first time in London, I love London. All right, so hey, come, please. All right, so ever shook hand. I still have the photo with me right now. It's in my living room. I mean, the walkway through my kitchen to my living room in one of my unit in Puchong Selangor here. So it reminds me, so be relentless as if you want to be a successful entrepreneur. So now, I think coming back to Branson's story, so met up with him, talked to his PA and said, hey, one day I'll bring him over to Asia. Tell me which part of country that you think that Branson will enjoy staying. And say, hey, so we decided it's either Malaysia, Singapore, or Vietnam. So that is how the events with Branson in Vietnam started. Very glad, very blessed that I have a very strong team that is always stick with me through thin and thick, where we took us 1.5 years to conceptualize, just to get things done pre-event. It took us 1.5 years to make sure that we're able to get things done. So conceptualized it since 2004 and able to materialize it in 2015, then only break even by 2016. So it is not cheap to get people like Branson to speak at your events, right? So altogether, it was a 3 years journey. So of course, because of Branson, people start to recognize me, start to recognize the company name and so on and so forth. Yeah, then other than that, the rest of the speakers within this part of the world, which is in Southeast Asia, I think, as I mentioned just now, I'm just someone that like, hey, if I have a good feeling about someone just like you yourself, I will not hesitate to say, hey, I'm John, let's meet up. Maybe there's something that we can explore together, right? So now again, I'm very glad that today we are working with over 300 international speakers. And if I may mention the name here, people like Mark Cuban, Terence Tam, John D, Idris Elba, Patrick Stewart, and so on and so forth. Idris Elba. Yeah. Wow. Idris Elba, yeah. All right. So now I have been running events professionally since 2009. And before pandemic itself, on average, we run over 600 events per year, which means that on average, 2 to 3 events every day, mostly live in-person event. But of course, as you know, during the lockdown itself, that's where things, we have to pivot into the online world. I think today we are still enjoying running the events online, although we are starting to put our events, or rather to organize our in-person event again by 2024, this year. Yep.
Wow, so many lessons there, John, because I can hear you, if you guys can read between the lines, first of all, the networking part is so important, not being shy about networking. And then the other thing is you saw this opportunity and you just went for it, right? And not have all the hang-ups about, oh, Richard Branson is too big for me, but you just went for it and that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
And the other thing is like just having that, the fact that you had worked with Richard Branson, I'm sure was like such a great branding authority thing, because other speakers would want to work with you because, oh, John Chong has worked with Richard Branson before, so, you know,
yeah,
that's really awesome. I want to work with John Chong too. Mm. So that is like so many business lessons there. But tell me, John, during the pandemic, obviously you had to pivot from, you know, 600 events a month to like basically going online. Like, how was that for you to pivot, and what were the challenges there? Was it difficult to pivot, or tell me about that whole thing?
All right. Okay, I mean, this is a question that most people ask, and in fact, within this industry itself, right, we have a very strong bonding among ourselves, within the organizers to another organizers, the organizers with the speakers, and so on and so forth, even down to the customer, the clientele that we have, right? So now, and it's a very, very... very easy question to ask, but personally to me, it is not the easiest question to answer, because depending on the situations where sometimes you have to kind of fake it, like you should not say the right answer, because depending on the what's the surrounding, right? What's the context of the box? So now, just because you're asking me, I'm going to be very frank with you. Now, it was tough. It was tough. And mentally, it was very, it's not the best thing that could happen in your life, because during the pandemic itself, I'm pretty sure that most of the enterprises, most of the businesses got affected, and that including ourselves. Now, it's definitely one of the lesson, the best lesson that we learned as an entrepreneur, because it's not ashamed, I'm not ashamed to say this, where we have to close down all the physical offices that we have throughout Southeast Asia. We used to have 7 offices, physical offices, and each office, we have on average 20 full-time staff, 20 at least. All right. So now just imagine out of 7 multiplied by 20, we are talking about like slightly more than 100 people. So now it took us a year to keep them, to say, hey, we are not going to do anything. We are not going to cut your pay. We are not going to, everything will resume the same. The only thing is you will stay at home. Right, so being someone that is not really tech savvy, this is where I depend on my team, that is someone that able to provide the solutions. Back then, the only platforms that we were using was Skype. I don't even look at Zoom, right? So now when people are talking about, hey boss, we have to start investing in Zoom, like to me it's like, why Zoom? What's the difference between Zoom and Skype? Why should we Zoom? So things like, so it took them a while to convince me, so hey, to do things remotely, to do events on their online platforms, it is a whole different breed of animal as compared to in person. So it was tough in that sense, like in order for me and the team to adapt to all the things, right? Now, financially, of course, that is their one of the biggest, toughest that is affecting the whole businesses itself. So now, as I mentioned just now, financially, we are able to, thank God, we are able to keep all of them on the first year. But I mean, the reality is this, we are not able to keep them on the second year. So this is where, as one of the leaders of the companies, right, we have to make a tough, but yet the right decisions, not only to the stakeholders, to all of us, right? So now, some of them been asked to leave, which we are not even afford to pay them any form of compensation, which it has been upfront a statement to them, say, hey, we have already made that 1 year commitment without any cut. So I think it's time for the company to ask a favor from you. Please resign. I mean, we definitely want you back whenever we are ready. So thank God, I think all of them, they are happy, they are glad that the management, we have been very transparent with them rather than trying to do something behind them and so on and so forth. So now, when it comes to second year itself, as I say, on the first year, we keep all of them. We try to adapt ourselves into all the Zoom thing or the online seminars, but we were not able to get it done successfully. I mean, we were doing it for the sake of doing it, but in terms of margin, we are near to zero, right? It's just more like a breaking even. On the second year, this is where, as I mentioned now, when we let go 90% of our people, and we only left with 10% of our the talents that we have within the organizations. That's where we decided not to run any events. That's where, if you realize, back in 2021, we were very quiet. And yeah, I mean, I got to admit it, we run zero events. The only things that we do is we reach out to our customer via email sequences and even meet up with them face-to-face, Zoom. What we do is by reaching out to them and see what other things that we could potentially help them. Now, to my surprise, this is where we're able to have a better data analysis since then, meaning to say that we get to know what's their interest, what are they up to right now, and so on and so forth. So back in 2021, we run zero event, as I mentioned. So what we did, what, including myself, as the founder of the company, I have to call the customer that is near to me, which is in Malaysia, call them, hey, this is John, da-da-da. So we do a lot of database cleansing and updating. And of course, I got to say that half of them, they over the conversation, they say, hey, I think I need to opt out from your subscribers list. I think that is a good thing. We, although you used to have this much, but just because people decided not to be part of your subscriber list, it down to just half of it, I think it still is a blessing in disguise, because database, the size, sometimes it does not translate to a revenue. But I think I rather have something that is a solid rather than just a number, right? So now, 2021, as I mentioned, run zero event. 2022, this is where we start focusing on another venture that we have, which is another marketing software, where we were focusing a lot on that back in 2021. So glad to say that today we have over 10,000 paid customers on the retainer basis, on the $97 a month, things like that. So I think that was the focus back in 2022. Then 2023, this is where we combined both the event and also the software. And it took us a while. Only this year we decide, I mean, in fact, last year we have already decided, by 2024, we have to not only keep expanding on the software company that we have to making sure that the online events is ongoing, and reinstate back the live in-person event that we used to have. So for that, we are definitely very excited about our this year plan, where, if I may do a bit of advertising about us, as I mentioned now, we are working with over 300 international speakers all around the world, where by this year itself, we have a bigger plan to bring some of the big name, big shot, from the celebrity status to the entrepreneurs to the influencers from the other side of the world to Asia, again, live in-person event, which definitely happy to get Terence yourself to be part of some of the things that we are doing here. And I'm very excited to announce it whenever time is right to the market and also to the acquaintance that we have here. Yeah.
Well, that was a great story. I mean, John, it's like basically you went from a super successful business to like basically ground zero,
yeah.
And you had
yeah.
to kind of like start all over again.
Definitely.
And it, you kind of pivoted into software, then bringing back your original business into the software and merge it together. And now you're kind of back to doing what you were, but in a slightly different format and in a modified way. So well done, John. I mean, I'm sure it's like brick and tough those few years, but well done for coming out of it.
That's the reason why I'm losing my hair, brother.
it looks shaved to me, John.
It is shaved. Yeah. I started, I mean, side track, just the only reason I'm starting off, I used to be like this during my teenage year. Now, the only reason why I'm coming back with this hairstyle is because of the lockdown, because the only thing that I do is other than trimming, then I say, that's it. I mean, I don't know whether you remember that before the pandemic itself, I used to keep my hair slightly longer, up to shoulder.
Yeah,
you've seen it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. So, yeah, new look, but hey, you know.
Yeah.
So, John, I'm just curious, like, you know, you've obviously worked with a ton of speakers.
Yeah.
What do you think is the difference between like a very successful coach versus the ones that are average or struggling or just doing okay kind of thing?
Okay.
What do you think are the, maybe give us three things, if you can think of three things that's the difference between the top tiers versus the lower tiers?
Okay. Thanks for the question. Wait, I'm thinking right now immediately when you ask, right? So now I'm just trying to rephrase it differently, if I may, where...
Certainly.
All right. So now, the only disclaimer that I want to make, right, the viewer, the listener might not be agreed to whatever that I'm about to share in a while, because I want to believe that I should be answering this question directly from my heart, which just based on my experience. I might be wrong to a certain extent. Now, let me start it off from someone that is successful enough, all right? A speaker that is successful enough, be it in their business or be it in their coaching business or be it in their life, all right? In their career whatsoever. So one of the things I realized and that I learned, they will not hesitate to set the expectation from you as organizer and also from the audience. Meaning to say that when I say setting expectations, one of the things that you can immediately think of is this. All right. Now, they are not greedy. Yeah, money, right? They are not greedy. They are not a bad person, but they know their value of time. All right. So now I quote an example. I think I'm trying to be like that also today. I mean, I'll be frank. When I only want to spend my time with something that's worthwhile doing, I mean, I will definitely give you a chance to, like, I mean, if you're new, like, you don't know what you don't know, you want to meet me, then I'll say, I'll probably give you a chance. I will give you a chance because I used to be like that, right? So now, just by engaging people like Branson, we are talking about 2.5 million ringgit. 2.5 million ringgit. I think to them, right?
So much. That's about 600,000.
To be exact, 440,000, and that's excluding the productions. 440,000 US dollar, and that's excluding the withholding tax. Also, I mean, now that aside, people like them, right? I mean, just so you know, that as I say, I met the group PA of Branson, by the name of Debbie, back in 2012. We already have that connections where we always, we are connected on Facebook, LinkedIn, and we email each other. So now 2012, 2015, engage them, things like that. So now, so much so, she knows who am I. I mean, she recognized me. We are friends to a certain extent, but I mean, business is always business, because at the end of the day, you have to recognize people like them, and that's including you yourself. I want to believe that your services is not cheap. If you want the cheapest services or the products in the world, they are not necessarily good. So you want good, it's not going to be cheap, right? Things like that. So now, my point is they have expectations. So money is definitely one of it. The other one is whatever that you want to do with them, be it inviting them to speak at your platforms or to to teach or to coach or whatever it is, right? Or even to be part of what you're doing, it must come with a real reason rather than it must not be what's in it for me. It must be what's in it for everyone. Right, all right. So it must come with a purpose rather than, hey, let's do something crazy and see how it goes. I think successful person, they appreciate their health more than their wealth. Their time is everything. All right. Time is probably the only things that you never, regardless how much money that you have, you're never able to buy it back. So expectation is number one, be on the a purpose, be on the financial, be on the everything, right? You need to know people like Terrence, you yourself, myself, Branson, or any speakers that you know of, they have no time for you to waste. Right, so you need to come with a real reason, and that be ready to abide to their expectations. So, of course, if you're not ready at that point of time, this is where my only advice is: move forward and to the status or to the level that able to meet his or her expectation. This is the only way for you to grow. Right, all right. I never have the money to get people like Branson, Les Brown, Robert Kiyosaki, Tony Robbins to work with them in the past, but because of like, hey, I know what I'm doing, so make sure that I'm ready to work with them. So I just need to move forward when I'm there, when financially I'm okay, then I will definitely want to work with them. All right, so now that's number one. Number two is, I think I also realized that working with the successful speakers, coaches, or entrepreneurs, right, they look at the long term rather than a touch and go, right? Long term in such a way that, hey, if I were to speak with you, what else that we can do together? I mean, if I were to speak at an event, for example, right? Why are we not making it at the bigger scale? It could be in terms of the numbers of their students, the size of the event, or the frequency of the event, and or even down to the selling price, or so on and so forth. So I think most of the successful speakers, they tend to go for long term, where they never had doubt about themselves to say, hey, am I able to continue deliver what I'm promising today in the next 5 years down the road? So most of them, they have that crystal clear mindset, they have that growth mindset, and they have that very long term vision instead, in such a way that I'm able to make some a promise today that I'm still able to deliver in the next 5 years down the road, rather than hey, let's not commit too much because I don't know how much I can deliver by end of the day. So I think these are the other few examples that I can share with you when it comes to our successful entrepreneurs. And probably the last thing that I can share, since you asked for three, right? So I think successful, most of, not all, not necessarily all, but what I also realize, successful entrepreneurs, a lot of times they are introverted person, where what I realize, they listen more than they speak, right? So now I think one of the things that we have to learn from this group of people, right? Not only that, we have to observe the way how they speak, the way how they communicate, the way how they think, and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, if you're able to jot down or save it or somewhere, you see the way how they ask questions. It might be the simplest question ever, but if you go deep, it is like it gives you a very different perspective, right? So now, at the end of the day, what I realized, they are very good listener. They speak less, but they listen more. But of course, whenever there is a questions or doubt about you, they will ask you one of the simplest questions. For instance, like, John, why are you doing this? So if you're not able to answer it, then you're like, oh. So they probably ask you a very simple question. You can sell them all the dream that you have. Hey, Mr. Sir, so and so, I want to work with you because I have this, I have that, I have that. This is what I do. I have that, 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 that. At the end of the day, they ask you, okay, they're just knocking their head and they only ask you one simple question. Why are you doing this? Why me? Why not the other one? So I think this is just the way how they think. As I say, maybe to them is, don't waste my time. As long as your why is aligned to my why, let's work it out. If your why, you're just talking about you want to make money, like you're ignoring the rest of the whatever is surrounding you, then I think most people just walk away from you. So now, coming back to their average, right? I think I definitely see a lot of good average speaker, coaches, or even entrepreneurs where they're able to adapt to their changes fast enough, be it from offline to online, they're able to pivot. Of course, I also have seen some veteran speakers where before the pandemic, they have always been offline. When it comes to the online world, where they want to adapt into their online, but they are just because of their interest, skills or whatsoever, right? So they are not able to carry out very well on the online space. I've seen it. I don't know about you, Terrence, but I think good thing about them, they are still having that strong desire to adapt to the changes fast enough. Of course, probably the last thing that I can mention about the average, I'll probably share with you the good things on Nila, but where let's keep to the positivity, where let's not go into the negative side of things, where I think many of the average speaker that I'm seeing today, they have that desire to commit more, commit in such a way that in this industry itself, we always always advise or talk to our speakers and say that, hey, you have to provide value first before you start earning, right? So you just keep value. So I think one of the bright side that I'm seeing in the average one, they are willing to do so in such a way that they are willing to commit to that, giving up value. And finger crossed, I'm hoping that eventually they are able to move them up from the average to a slightly better one in the market. Yeah, that's my answer to your question, Terrence. Yeah.
That's great, because I mean, very few people have the opportunity to work with these high level coaches and speakers like you have, so that's great insight. Like, just first of all, they have this high standards, right, which they kind of like compromise.
Secondly, yeah,
they have this like long term mentality of doing
things. Yeah, correct.
And the third thing is they are basically looking at what was the third thing? Sorry, third thing.
What did I say? Let me think. This is where you have to edit the video.
Yeah.
Listening.
Yes. And the third thing was about really listening, that they are introverts, which is super surprising. Because when you see them on stage, you think this guy must be a super extrovert, but in reality, most of them are actually introverts.
Don't be, because I think it is safe for me to say at least more than half of the speakers that we are working with right now, including Richard Branson, Adam Koo, they are all introvert, very introvert. They are, if you know Simon Leong, one of my partners also, super introvert. All right, so most of them, they are very introvert.
That's an interesting insight.
Aren't you an introvert person?
I'm not sure. I think I'm extrovert. I'm not central.
All right, that's good.
But I've done the personality test. I'm supposed to be an extrovert.
All right, this is good.
In certain situations, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, I got a question, John. Why do you think some, you know, when you talk about selling on stage, right? Why do you think some of the speakers are so good at selling on stage and why some of them are not so good?
All right.
I mean, what is the key elements to like selling on stage from your experience?
Okay. I'll probably share with
us all on a live stage.
Okay, I'll probably share something that is it's no longer a secret, where I think all of us, especially those who are in this industry, you already know the answer, which I keep to that for the past over 10 years, as in whoever that we are working with, right? One of the key things that I always emphasize is this. Now, of course, the end result, just by doing these simple things I'm about to share with you, is other than the conversion, the ultimately obviously the closing, right? But of course, it helps throughout, from beginning until the end, from the breaking the ice, building the trust, and so on and so forth until the closing, right? So now, one of the key things that I always emphasize is they have to know their audience. So now, What I realized now, let me just share with you an interesting story. Now, as you know, before the lockdown itself, 100% of our events, they are run organized health in the live in-person format, which is offline, which we travel all, we travel the speakers from different part of the world, from New Zealand, from Australia, from US, from UK, from Europe, Europe country, or even from India to Southeast Asia, be it in Vietnam, Cambodia, Brunei, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, Philippines, India, and also the UK, right? 7 countries altogether. Now, the thing is, one of the speakers that that I look up at, which I told him that, hey, I enrolled to one of your online course, which I want to work with you in this part of the world. Are you keen? Obviously, after a couple of months, we work on the financial arrangement and the coordination, logistics, and so on and so forth. We finally signed the contract. And one of the things that I keep mentioning to him is this, hey, your first gig with us will be in Vietnam. Let me share with you what's the Vietnamese culture. Then, of course, other than Vietnam, I share with him about Thailand. I share with him about Cambodia, Malaysia, and Singaporean, and so on and so forth. The thing is this, I'm sure that you agree with me. Although we look alike here from this part of the world, Southeast Asia, but the culture, when it comes to culture, is totally very different culture from Vietnamese to Thailand to Malaysian to Singaporean to and so on and so forth. Very different. So been trying to do my part to make sure that he understood that this is how we normally do our things when it comes to Vietnam country, right? So now, being someone that in this industry for over 2 decades, he's in his 50s today. So the ego that kills the performance, at the end of the day, he refused to listen to our advice, which not only me, myself, because just so you know that back in the day, every officers that we have, I mean, office that we have a country manager. So other than me, myself, the country manager always play a part to do our part to make sure that they understand the audience and they do what they have to do by the information that we are sharing with them. In this case, we were talking about the culture itself, right? So now, so he refused to listen and thinks that he wants to stick to the one and only formula, his experience back in Australia, and say, hey, this is what I've been doing in the past 20 years. Let me just stick to this, da-da-da-da-da-da. So end up in Vietnam, 1,005 people in the room, 0 sales. In Thailand, 800, in Thailand, in Bangkok, 800 people in the room, 0 sales. In Penang, 600 people in the room, 0 sales. In KL, in fact, KL is a back, it was a back-to-back. By the way, this is just a preview, half a day preview, right? So there's so much money that we have to put in just to produce that numbers. And it was a Asia tour from Southeast Asia down to India. Now, we are talking about at least 3 figures, if not up to, as I say, some countries like Cambodia. I remember Cambodia, Vietnam, it was 1,500 people in the room. So 0 sales. At the end of the day, we are not able to fulfill the other back ends, which is the other advanced programs for him. And guess what? We are no longer working today just because, of course, we are still good friends today, but it's just that I think I'm just not ready to re-promote him again. So I think just by understanding your audience itself is definitely one of the most important key ingredients for you to able to deliver your message and ultimately to get them to be part of your inner circles or any advanced programs that you have in mind. It could be your funnel, your community, and so on and so forth. Even if you are doing this for free, I think it is still very important for you to understand your audience, because other than culture itself, there's many other aspects that you have to look at. For instance, let me just share with you another story in Brunei, where it was run by one of my country manager from East Malaysia, right? So Brunei is, although it's not part of Malaysia, but just because it's just located nearer to Sabah and also Sarawak, say you run it. So I say, hey, let's not do it during the, it was a 3 days event, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, free event, by the way, multiple speaker event. Based on my past experience, I told her that, hey, let's not do it during the Muslim prayer time, because I think we have to go for a good 3 to 4 hours break in between. So because the prayer, we have to buffer from as early as 12 until 4. So I say, hey, Friday might not be a good day. Just take it to 2 days. And I say, no, because we have already confirmed too many speaker lineup, we have to squeeze the 3 days. So end up with, guess what? Friday, we were expecting 400 people in the room. So there's only 100 people show up. So I think at the end of the day, how is it going to affect the brand of the company? Obviously, like for the speaker itself, I mean the one who also kind of rejected the idea not to exclude Friday from the event is the speaker. So it says keep insisting that let's do 3 days because this is where we're able to convert more, close more sales and so on and so forth. But since they refuse, then again, I think this is where you have to really understand your audience, their needs, their wants. And at the end of the day, it's all about if you're able to understand that, this is where you're able to gel well during your presentation, even before the preview, before the event, during the event and after the event, which eventually will bring you the desired end result that you want, which is it could be your sales, it could be getting more tractions, getting more followers from this part of the world when it comes to speaking on the stage. Now, if I may, let me just share another story when it comes to speakers. Is no, I think I'll just ignore it because it can be quite controversial. So let's edit it out, Terrence. Now, it's very controversial because it involves a religion. Oh, religion. Okay. Yeah, let's not talk about it. Yeah.
All right. Well, John, that's so true because, like, I see even a lot of the clients we work with, sometimes they just want to stick to one format that works
in the
country.
Yeah.
And then they go to, even from Malaysia to Singapore, right? It's such a, like, small divide, like 1 kilometer divide.
But
when you go across the border, it is, like, completely different. The ads that work in Malaysia don't work in Singapore.
Absolutely,
and
absolutely.
The offer you sell in Malaysia does not work in Singapore. It does not translate.
True.
And they refuse, a lot of them refuse to acknowledge that and tailor it towards the audience, which is, you know, in your case, many examples that you've shared.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
So, John, finally, I just want to ask that, you know, now that many listeners are probably interested to find out more about you, how do they follow you, or if they want to work with you, because a lot of our audiences are maybe speakers and coaches, if they want to work with you, how do they get in touch?
All right. Thanks for that. Which obviously they can email me. My email address is john@isummitmastery.com. john@isummitmastery.com. Otherwise, they can always connect with me on LinkedIn. Otherwise, Facebook will be another channel to connect with me. Yeah, John Chong. That's my name. Otherwise, the another alternative is connect with Terrence. Terrence will definitely connect myself and you, to you, all right?
And that's John as in J-O-H-N.
Yes.
Right? Not J-O-N. Right? So make sure you have the H there.
Yeah, J-O-H-N. You're right.
Thanks so much, John. It's been a pleasure. I think I've learned a lot just by having this talk with you, and I'm sure people who listen to this will have a lot of lessons and a lot of wisdom that has that you have shared today. So thank you so much for this time, John. Really appreciate your time.
Once again, thanks for the friendship, thanks for the opportunity, and thanks for having me, and thanks for the viewing this video. Please remember to subscribe, like, hit the bell button, and comments in the comment sections. All right, so thanks for having me, Terrence, and I definitely look forward to work with you again, and very excited to know that you have been talking to some of my team members in terms of the potential collaborations. I look forward to that, and the next one will be on me again.